I'm Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Lauren from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
A podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Voices of Defiance. It's a podcast about sci-fi's television show Defiance and all of its universes to include, but not limited to, the video game. We're not experts, just a few fans like yourself that love the show and want to geek out about it. If you haven't caught up to the latest aired episode, you might want to pause right now and go catch up, since there will be spoilers. You have been warned. And now, let's have some fun and get on with the podcast.
You're an idiot.
Hello, my name is Stargate Pioneer. My friends call me SP. And with me today is the woman who has reached from the depths of depression. Her name is Shannon.
What? Depths of depression. I can't even say it. You know, you got me doing it.
Yes.
I'm not depressed. I had an awesome freaking 2 weeks.
Awesome.
Awesome.
We'll talk a little bit about yesterday and everything else in a little bit. But just to remind everybody, we are going to be talking about the finale continuum episode, season 4, episode 6, final hour. We're also going to be talking about the big Defiance announcement. So stay tuned for that. That will be at the end of the podcast. Just a reminder, you can catch us at GunnaGeek.com. Go to the contact page, find all the great ways you can reach us. Also, we do have a voicemail line. It will still be active. 612-888-ARC-1 or 612-888-2751. Or you can always email me audio at StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com. So, Shannon, do you want to say anything about yesterday before we get into continuum of your activities yesterday?
Let me tell you, yesterday I went to the Dallas Comic Con, my fourth Comic Con for the year. I'm done for this year until February.
Wow.
It is awesome. You know, the whole thing that's cool about going to conventions is when you get to meet your childhood heroes. And I got to meet, for the first time yesterday, both Lucy Lawless and Renee O'Connor from Xena.
Nice!
It's the first time they've been in Dallas, ever. When I was a teen, their conventions were always in California.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, that was where the first Star Trek convention was, too, I think.
Right. And they were big enough that they had their own conventions, just like Stargate has their own conventions. Mm-hmm. Right? So, I love Xena. I still love Xena. And now that I've spent in it, man, I want to tell you something. They did not anticipate the amount of people that were going to be coming for those two women.
Oh, yeah?
I stood in line for over 2 hours to have my picture taken with them.
Wow. And you were the one complaining about New York Comic Con and the long lines yesterday,
yeah,
2 days ago.
You know what? The funny payoff was, in New York had 151,000 people reported for the 4 days that they were open.
Yeah.
This one clearly didn't have that many people. I mean, it wasn't probably in the hundreds and thousands. I mean, it was a lot of people. But after I got done with my photo op, I went down into the main merchandise room, right? And there was nobody there because everyone was still stuck up in a line somewhere. So walking around the merch floor was great. But they were doing single photos. Like you can have a single picture with Xena or Lucy, with Lucy or Renee. And then you would have double pictures, which what I did. But everything was thrown back. Over 45 minutes to an hour over. So, like a girl that I went with, Flip Flop Gal, she's on here on Twitter with us. She had her picture. She got in line around 10 o'clock in the morning to have her picture just with Lucy.
Yeah.
So, after Lucy got through having single pictures, then she goes and she has double pictures. So, everything was thrown back. So, they did not anticipate the amount of traffic coming in for those two. But it threw everything off. But it was still awesome. It was still great. It was worth every bit that I stood in line for. It was worth every bit that my back and my feet are killing me at the moment. But it was awesome because just to see those two together, it was great. It was like a childhood dream.
So there wasn't pre-sales for the pictures?
There was pre-sales for the pictures. But what I'm saying is that even though you have a ticket to get in line, you can't speed things up when there's over 400 people in the room with you.
Right, but you said they didn't anticipate the amount of crowd. If that many people actually signed up ahead of time, they would have known that many people signed up.
But what I'm saying is that they had a set schedule that they were supposed to be keeping, right?
Yeah.
And like my picture was supposed to be at noon. I didn't get my picture until like 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And the panels were supposed to start at 5, right? So they had the last panel for the evening. And it didn't even start till like 5:45. So everything was thrown off because there were so many people in line.
Uh-huh.
It was great.
But you got your picture with him. Yay!
I got my picture with him. I got my autograph with Renee. I couldn't get it with Lucy because the line was like astronomically long to get an autograph with Lucy. But that entire long line was only for the VIP people. And then when you're a VIP, you get a chance to line jump. You get 5 jumps. So that long line was only for the VIP and then the line jumpers. And then after that, then would be your general admission. So it was either that or missed the panel. So I went and got in line for like an hour and a half before the panel. It was great.
So what does the autograph read? Dear Sean, I so want you. Hubba hubba.
Hell no, I didn't mention him at all. That's my name on that paper.
All right. Good to know. Anything else of note from the Comic Con yesterday?
No, that was pretty much the highlight of my day.
I would assume so, yeah.
You know, it was great because sometimes, even when you have a guest that has so many people in their line, sometimes you get disappointed because you get up there and you see these people and they're rushing you along. They don't speak to you. They don't shake your hand. They don't, you know, yeah, it's more of a job to them to sign than anything.
Yeah.
And that was totally not the case. Renee yesterday, even though she had a long line too, even though we were taking a long time, you know, they were rushed. They had a time schedule to try to keep, even though they couldn't. She made time to shake everyone's hand and to speak with you for like a minute or so. I mean, she gave her time. So she made sure everyone felt welcomed and it was great. So it's a bit of a Texas hospitality there, I guess, because she's from down near Houston.
Right, right, right. Well, that's awesome. Not a lot of people get to go to conventions. A lot of people do, but not everybody that wants to gets a chance to. So thank you for sharing your experience with us. We really appreciate that.
Not everyone gets to go like I do. Like I said, this is the 4th one I've gone to this year.
I know. That's incredible.
So, well, normally I go to just the 3. I have the 3 that I go to, February, May, and October.
Yeah.
New York was something special.
Right. So now you need to stay at home and you need to save your pennies because you will be doing this again next year, right?
Come February.
All right. So, Shannon, I don't know about you, but I watched an episode last night. I mean, did you watch an episode last night, this morning?
I watched it and then I had to watch it again a little bit because I'm like, what the heck just happened?
they did glance over some things. We're talking about Continuum. The finale episode called Final Hour.
There's things I still don't understand happen.
Well, we'll talk about it.
And I'm looking at Sean because he actually watched it with me. I'm like, what?
He's not going to know. He hasn't watched the entire series. Leave him alone.
He hasn't. He hasn't watched anything. But
all right. So this was the 42nd episode in the run. It is the last episode titled Final Hour. It was written by the executive producer, the showrunner of Continuum. His name is Simon Barry. And if you take a look at his IMDb, it's basically Continuum. That's it. But he did a wonderful job. And was directed again by the venerable Patrick Williams, who's done a bunch of stuff, including a bunch of Continuum. So the two of them actually had a plan in mind. We talked about it all this season. It was 6 episodes. They had to rush some things along. There were some things that you knew that they wanted to take seasons to develop. It was cut short. In Simon's mind, he wanted 7 to 10 seasons. He got 4, really 3.5. And yeah. I think he did a good job of wrapping it up. And we'll get to it later. They left a little dangler in there for a movie, for a Netflix series or whatever. And we'll talk about that later. But so what was your favorite part of the episode, Shannon?
Well, I don't know if I had a favorite part because I'm still like, what happened? Nothing turned out the way I thought. I mean, I did not think, I can honestly tell you, I thought that she was going to stay with Carlos because they've always been talking about this past 6 episodes, how you don't know what the future is going to be.
Right.
You may lose everything. You know, your son's not there anymore. You should stay, right? So I knew Brad would change on his people and help Kerrigan because he's always been so conflicted. It makes him not trustworthy, but he's still conflicted and he helped her. But I think my favorite part was where at the end, when she walked through, finally, that all the guys that she left behind are like, okay, well, that happened. So let's just make sure that we make this future happen that she's wanting. So at the end, you get to see the Carlos Foundation. You know, did you read that up on the rock? The park that they went into, right?
Yeah, Carlos.
Memorial for him.
Yeah. That Emily argued until her last days that they rename it for Carlos. So she and Alec got back together. I thought we were going to see Emily in the finale. We didn't.
Yeah.
But Alec and Emily did get back together and they spent basically their lives together.
Right. So I'm happy that you see the result from the guys that she left behind. So Alec, and I thought it was funny that Kagami, the old man.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, Sean's like, I thought he's dead. I'm like, no, keep up. You know, he haven't watched this in a while.
It's time travel, man.
But he's the boy that Julian went to live with, him and his mother. So he grew up, obviously, in the household. So I like that they finished her work for her. Now, that being said,
yeah,
she didn't get anything she wanted at the end.
Well, okay. So we'll go there. So she comes back. She sees Sam. Sam is there. And another Kira is playing with Sam. So it's not...
Paradox.
Yeah. It's not Kira's son. And you don't see the father either, thank God. But you see how pained she is that she has this wonderful future, that everything she did worked except for she didn't get her son. Now, that is where the future comes in. Simon Barry has said, I watched a video that he put on Facebook the day that the season finale aired in the United States. So it was a week delayed for them to Canada. But he said, hey, look, we are looking into other projects. We are looking at a movie, basically, for Continuum. And I could see that. The idea of the movie would be her getting back with her son.
That would be cool.
Yes.
Because I'm thinking, okay, I personally would have stayed with Carlos because, you know, he's Carlos. But she didn't get Brad. She didn't get Carlos. She didn't get to stay and go back with her son. At the end, I'm like, ah, oh, that sucks.
Right. So they're talking in the chat that there was not a lot of all the actors. We talked a little bit about Emily before. She was name dropped. She was not there. Julian was name dropped. He was not there. Uncle Julian, actually, which was really odd coming from Kagami. Garza was in a few scenes. Chen,
two scenes.
Yeah. Curtis was in a few scenes. The thing that really gets me back to...
I didn't see Curtis.
Yeah. He was at Curtis Chen. He was there.
Oh, never mind. I was thinking of...
Right. Okay. So the thing that they obviously didn't have that much time to develop and they kind of rushed through so it was glanced over was the Traveler. And I took another look at the Traveler, and the more I look at the Traveler, the more I think you're right, that the Traveler is Kellogg.
It's Kellogg.
It's got to be.
Ha, ha, ha. So, you know what? Okay. I didn't understand what he did at the end. The whole... What did
he Traveler?
Do?
The Traveler went back to his time. Kira went
back...
So
once the portal opened... They both went in.
Oh, yeah. So the Traveler had his own little magic that he used to get back to his time.
He was just waiting for somebody to open the portal.
But both, and this is what I didn't understand. Kira and Kellogg both took their spheres into the portal, and that is what allowed their time travel. So I'm guessing that the Traveler had some sort of thing that he used as well.
Yeah. Okay. You asked my favorite part. It was pretty damn funny how Kellogg got put back into...
Into prehistoric times. He's like, son of a
sneaky bastard. So I mean, he got what he deserved. Okay, I did not see it coming that Chick was his daughter.
No, well, I knew that.
I didn't see it coming.
Well, yeah, it was the whole, especially because what they were talking about with the paradox with his grandmother, and then she perked up on that. I was like, what? And he's like, it doesn't matter. I was like, oh yeah, she is so his daughter. And then I was thinking, ew, she's his daughter, because they had that whole funky time in his penthouse. I'm like,
And then she got screwed.
The puns come. Yeah, the wine corkscrew, for those that don't know what we're talking about, in the back. And she gets killed.
She gets screwed from behind.
This is the second time she's been killed by her father on Sci-Fi, by the way, because she was killed in, what was that other series that she was in? Helix with Ronald D. Moore, which I will not be watching anymore.
I heard that name yesterday. Who's Ron Moore?
Battlestar Galactica. Your husband is kicking you right now, I know.
You know, I knew the name. I just can't place them. Okay.
Yeah.
Different conversation. Right. Okay. Yeah. So I never watched Helix. I didn't know she was in that. But
she's a wonderful actress, Kira. And I look forward to her next project, but I am not going to watch Helix again. She's still on it from all I know.
So basically on Continuum, they all wrapped it up as nicely as they could. You lost Travis.
You didn't. Well, yes, you lost Travis, but it was a sacrifice. It was the way Travis would have wanted to go.
I like Travis. I like Roger Cross.
He's
an awesome
great.
Actor.
Yeah, exactly. He's been great in Arrow. He's been great in this. He's been great in Dark Matters. Everything that he's done, if you take a look at his list, 24, everything, he's a great actor. I want to see more of him.
So you're right. You left it open for the movie. I didn't read that, but so now that you're saying that's a possibility, I could see that better because I'm thinking, okay, the ending kind of, no.
Well, again, if you consider that they are looking for another part of the project, they don't just want this to die. They want that TV movie, miniseries, Netflix series or whatever. It would be a reasonable storyline for a season or two.
All right. So here's a question.
Yeah.
What happens to these TV shows that Netflix picks up? Does Netflix carry the rights and continue them, or they just play them over and over again?
Yeah, they play them over and over again until they lose the rights. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it's all about. That's what Netflix is. And unfortunately, Netflix doesn't have all the shows like we're going to be talking about in a bit. Like, they don't have Defiance. They don't have a few other shows that are on Amazon Prime instead, which, okay. But Continuum, I believe, is on Netflix.
There's a petition right now to get Dominion and probably Defiance, but we'll get that in a second.
Yeah.
You know what? It was a great episode. It was a great series. I wish that they'd gone longer, like we've always said. It could have gone longer.
Yeah. I love the power suits. That was great. We get to see the power suits again in the finale, and I knew that was coming. But I did not know that the portal was powered by the power suit power cells. I did not see that coming. So the guy took the power cell out of the portal. I was like, what is he doing? Then the portal's not... It was like, oh, when the power suit showed up, I'm like, oh, that's why. Oh, well. A lot of cops died that day. Lots of cops died. Carlos didn't. Dylan did. I called it. We knew it was going to happen. Dylan sacrificed himself for Kira.
But he was shot by Kellogg, though.
Yes, he was. But he saved her from some of the... Like, three super soldiers came through the portal before it got shut down. And he saved her from two of those, I think. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's two of them that came through.
All right.
Because they were blasting up the walls and Carlos had to jump out of the way. I mean, it's amazing. Carlos has even been able to keep up with her. But...
He's gotten grayer and grayer, that's for sure.
He has over the seasons, hasn't he?
Right.
He was a great actor. I like to see him in something else.
I did not see, we talked about it already, but I did not see them reprogramming the sphere in a way that would have spoofed Kellogg. I just didn't see that because we didn't talk about the spheres at all this season. It wasn't in my mind. Didn't see it.
Well, then it would have had to, was it the spheres that they tampered with or the key?
They didn't tamper with the sphere. They gave him incorrect ability to program the sphere.
Okay, that's right. They gave him the one that was in the safe.
Yeah, and I was thinking when Alec put the key back together that he was going to do something with that, but he didn't.
Good thing they didn't get the sphere switched.
Yeah. So I'm glad we had a chance to watch these last six episodes and podcast on it. It was a good series. I appreciate that. Yeah, I can see how everybody is like, oh, with the ending. But if you consider that there may be another project involved, it's all good. Because, you know, eventually she's going to get back with Sam. You have anything else you want to say about Continuum?
No, that was pretty much it. That was a good series. We enjoyed it. And it was a good time doing this podcast, but on to better things.
All right. So now we need to talk about the big sci-fi bomb that they dropped on Friday. Friday afternoon is when you drop bad news, right? Because then it doesn't get into the news cycle. And joining us today is a very special guest that I would have preferred to have done without, actually, but my hand was forced. Saddle up, buddy. Joining us for one last time is the one, the only, the man who draws pretty pictures and tells stupid stories, the one who started it all back in 2006, the Parsec Award-winning Sean O'Hara.
Hello!
Welcome aboard, sir.
Well, you know, I'm glad to be a guest here.
So where were you when you got the announcement?
I was at home and Shannon said, did you hear Sci-Fi get canceled Defiance? And I was like, sure I did. Of course I did. I didn't know.
I didn't know. And actually, you weren't home yet. I was blowing up his text.
I got in my car after work and my phone had just blown up. Just it's like, okay.
I just got home because the bus just got here with Michaela.
I know exactly what happened. And they dropped it on a Friday, I think intentionally, to go away from that news cycle, even though show cancellations aren't really part of the news cycle, but I do believe it was intentional.
Pig suckers.
And everybody's calling them DiFi. They are reeling from some negativity and will continue to do so for a while, but Sci-Fi dropped the bomb. That Defiance was canceled. And
really?
Sean, I gotta say, Shannon, I'm okay with it because they ended it in a good place.
Shannon is never okay when you kill a show she loves, which is almost every show.
Every show that she watches.
Shannon,
yeah, Shannon has problems letting go of things. That works out through her entire life. We could have an argument and 3 years later and she'll go, remember that time? Shannon doesn't let go of stuff. So, yeah, this is
I won't let go of Defiant either, so.
Yeah, she still talks about Hunter being canceled.
Hey, Hunter was a
Remember Dee Dee McCall? She was freaking awesome. So
that was my first squeak.
So she went to a con yesterday, and or the that was Dallas Comic Con, and she came back with loads of Xena gear. I mean, Shannon never lets go of anything.
Speaking of the stuff I don't let go, to add to the Xena fan kits that I had from the early 90s that I still have in the closet.
She does. I can verify that.
Well, Sean, you've been through this once before with a podcast on sci-fi. In your words, they took it 1 year too far.
They did.
There was that possibility with Defiance, too.
I think, and I said this when we viewed the last episode, or what we now know is the last episode. I said, you know, they picked a really, really good and elegant place to end it. I thought it was beautifully done. And I really got that feeling even then. And you guys can check me on this. I said it on the cast as well. Like, look, man, this feels like an ending to me.
Yeah, we all said that.
And it's okay. I do think, like, I have been involved with, you know, I had a Battlestar Galactica show for a very long time. And when it ended, I was disappointed with the ending. I thought they could have ended it in different places. I thought it could have been more powerful, more elegant, more something than what they did. Defiance ended gracefully.
Right. And they all lived. I mean, all your main, other than the McCullys, okay?
I was going to say,
other than the McCully clan, all your main characters survived.
See, if there was any conflict in between the network and the showrunner, because it kind of looked like they were trying to kill everybody, and if there was any conflict and the network said, oh, wait, no, you need to keep these people alive instead of kill off the entire town at the end, I'm grateful for that, because if they would have ended it the other way around, it would have been a Game of Thrones thing, and I would have been, I'm out. I can't believe I wasted 3 years on this.
Well, and we talked to Mr. Murphy, and he was saying, oh, yeah, we totally went for that Game of Thrones thing, right? I really liked that, where they just killed people and you never knew. And I hate it when shows do that. And in fact, Shannon, you were at Comic-Con yesterday, as a matter of fact, and from the time we recorded this, and Lucy Lawless was talking about how they always regretted now that they beheaded Xena. She and they're like, holy crap, we're so sorry.
Yeah, she said that she didn't, at the time, they didn't realize how important the character meant to the fans. They had no idea. They were oblivious. So, yeah, you took off her head, so can't really screw that back on. But I'm happy. I'm not happy with Defiance being over, but I'm happy with the fact that we got a good ending. There was no battle happening at the moment. There was no strife going on. I mean, you had all the main characters.
No cliffhanger.
Still alive. There's no cliffhangers. I mean, you had Doc Yule and Nolan surviving in the butt plug from space. You know it's coming. Amanda was a little sad that her boy left, but
right.
They were all alive.
Well, and it was a well-done ending. I was very sad to see my girl die in a horrible incinerator accident in the ship. I thought Nicole deserved better than that, because she was just this beautiful character, beautiful woman, sexy as hell. I was very happy to see characters like that. It was a very, very strong female-friendly show, which you don't see a lot of, with characters like that. I create stories and characters and different events and all that kind of stuff, and write some different things. And one of the things I always do, especially now, is like write the characters and then do them and then flip a coin or roll some dice or something like that to figure out if they're going to be male or female. Because if they're female and I know it, I will treat them differently because I'm from that old school. They treated each of those characters. It didn't really matter if they were a woman or a man. They treated them all the same. They all had problems. They were all flushed out 3D characters. They were all...
They all had flaws.
Yeah. I mean, they all had flaws and strengths and everything like that, which is how it should be. And it echoed... True, because, I mean, look at the fan base of this show. I mean, it just garnered women all over everywhere. They identify with these people. So it was very well done, and I appreciated that we got, what, 3 seasons out of it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Holy crap. You know, I mean, for a show that basically, I mean, they launched a video game and a show at the same time. It was very ambitious for what they did. There wasn't another. The last one I saw that was kind of Earth-tilted was Earth 2 or something like that, you know, where it was on Earth, but it wasn't, and there was a lot of set. There was a lot of stuff like that. Very difficult to kind of push forward. I mean, it's very well done. So I appreciated it when it started, and I appreciated that it was they kept it going for as long as they did.
I'm happy that we actually got an ending and not just, hey, like Caprica, and you just, sorry, guys, but we're going to end it here.
Well, sci-fi doesn't learn many lessons, but I think it learned that that's a big no-no. Because if you want to sell anything after that, if you want to invest in things or get box sets sold or anything after that, you can't end it on a cliffhanger. And even Kevin Murphy was saying that. He's like, they don't want to do that now.
Right. So you had two lessons from the Battlestar Galactica universe. Well, three, really, if you count the writer's strike. But Caprica, with the way that sci-fi just doled out the final five episodes, it was just horrendous. And then the way they treated Blood and Chrome afterwards was horrendous as well. It was a decent miniseries. I liked Blood and Chrome. I could see where they just may not want to have picked it up as a series, but it was a good miniseries. And they were just like, eh, here you go. Eh. They doled it out in a web series over a couple of days, probably trying to drive web hits. I don't know what that got them in terms of long-term merchandising or anything. So that was a couple of lessons that they learned. They probably learned a lesson from Alphas, like, what the heck, guys? And then now you've got Defiance. I don't know if it was engineered like this from the beginning. The one lesson that I hope they learned from this is not wait so friggin' long to make the decision, because that's really what got everybody upset.
Yeah, because like you were talking earlier, there's so much negativity on Twitter at the moment. I mean, they're getting hammered, and rightly so, because they did it to themselves, because within 2 days, in the same week, they canceled two big shows.
I think they made the decision together, and they just parsed out the announcement so it wasn't just one big hate.
We're cutting everything!
Yeah. I think that's exactly what happened, and I think the Defiance announcement specifically came on a Friday afternoon because of that. Hey, if you want to control spin, that's what you do. You throw it out on Friday afternoon. Sean, you know this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Then they go home, and they don't have to do anything.
Well, yeah, and it's a tactic. I'll just say that, but what they've done is they've invested in some space shows. I don't think they stuck with any of them really. You know, nothing. They're looking for that BSG hit, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because when they did BSG, it became a tentpole, and they're trying to hit another one of those. And they've tried to create it themselves, because BSG was basically a remake.
Yeah.
And a beautifully done remake full of a bunch of talented people. I'm not taking that away from it, but it just consumed sci-fi for a long time. They based a lot of their stuff off of Battlestar, and they haven't had really another one of those since.
No.
Right?
And concurrently, they also had Stargate SG-1 running.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they stood on the shoulders of giants. I mean, honestly, you had Stargate running, you had Battlestar running, you had actually a couple of Stargates running at the time BSG was out too.
Yeah, Stargate Atlantis.
And just this sci-fi brick and mortar that held everything together, right?
Right.
And
then they canceled them.
Well,
so Sean,
BSG, they let go on too long.
I have a question. I didn't have a chance to look into this. Shannon and I actually talked this the same exact conversation in the last podcast. And I was wondering, because I believe that they are looking for their BSG, their Walking Dead, their Game of Thrones, and they haven't gotten it since BSG. I think that's what they assumed Defiance was going to be. It honestly, yeah. Story-wise and everything else, it really
could have been.
Yeah, it could have been.
It really could have been. I don't know why that didn't catch. I really don't, because it was a beautifully done story. It had diverse, very in-depth characters. It had a great effects budget, and then they did wonderful stuff with it. I don't know. I don't know whether it was just not set in space, and that's what they went, oh.
Yeah, maybe. You know, The other thing I was thinking of is, if you take this exact same show and you throw it on NBC, what does it do there?
Oh, I think it gets huge.
Yeah.
I do. I think it gets huge. Look at, here's an example, right? Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier. Once Upon a Time is not actually a fantastic show. Okay. It's good, and it has some really interesting things that they tie in, and it has wonderful actors. Okay. But
it's not fantastic. It's not something
that great. I mean, right. you don't say, oh my God, I wonder what's going to happen. And you're not really as invested. You're like, oh, look, there's Elsa from Frozen, or, you know, oh,
right.
Look, it's Robin Hood.
It's Peter Pan. Right.
Yeah, it's Peter Pan. Oh, that's cool. You know, Hook was a magnificent character. You know, Hook's a nice guy. You know, you're like, holy crap. That's cool. It's interesting. But the reason it keeps going and going and going is because it's on a major network. And that fan base, that critical mass, even if you have that much eyeballage looking at it, it inherently makes it more valuable. The reason I think Defiance died is because it's on sci-fi. However, NBC, ABC, none of the big networks would have ever made Defiance. It's too risky. I mean, look at the things they did with it. They had the main town employment was a brothel. You can't do that on ABC.
Right. So there might have been some slight changes that happened, but ABC did do V, that was a similar thing.
Not completely.
Yeah. Right.
God, I loved her with teeth. Yeah. Oh,
that's great.
Inara with teeth. Oh, and an unchangeable jaw.
I knew we were going to go there.
Oh, God, I loved her. I was like, oh, I'd do that.
ABC would not have had bath scenes with bath beads, let me just tell you.
The question I had for you, Sean, and I don't remember, and I've been kind of looking, as you're talking, kind of looking, I've been striking out. Do you remember what the ratings were for Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, not off the top of my head. I mean, I knew back in the day, but I've tried to block a lot of that stuff out. Yeah. But they were really, really good. They were the best that sci-fi had ever had.
Right. So my point there is that NBC Universal, which is the owner of sci-fi, they're looking, and we pointed it out, they're looking for that next big hit. What defines that big hit? I think if you take a look at Gotham, if you take a look at Blindspot, if you take a look at Game of Thrones, if you take a look at Walking the Walking Dead. If you take a look at
Walkie Zombie,
a podcast on the Gonna Geek Network. If you take a look at The Walking Dead, success in their terms is 20 million viewers. It is beating out Sunday Night Football, which is huge, by the way.
Yeah.
That is the type of success that they really want. And I don't know if they're ever, ever going to get it because it's sci-fi.
That's too high of a bar.
It's not on NBC. And I think they need to go back to one of their main networks and do that. Now, also, is it USA? It's USA that they own. And TNT is owned by, I can't remember who TNT is owned by. But USA had a couple of good...
They had Burn Notice.
Yeah.
Fantastic show, by the way.
I love the way that that ended, too, talking about good endings.
Yeah, and they had beautiful and rich character. I mean, Gabrielle Anwar was amazing in that show. And, God, what's the guy from Xena who was in that?
I want to say Sam.
Sam, yeah.
It's totally wrong. That's not his name. That's his character's name.
Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell.
Thank you. Bruce Campbell was great in it, too.
Speaking of Xena, that's another show that lasted 6 seasons, but it was not on a sci-fi channel.
No.
Xena was a fantastic entry into that whole cheap effects, but Xena was a fantastic way, and that was that bridge of, you know, we're going to tell this giant epic thing, and we're going to do it with cheap effects, and we're going to do it with the same kind of people and creative shooting and all that kind of stuff. That was a beautifully done show, but that was, you could get that without cable. Xena was huge because it reached this mass audience, and it only got 6 years, but they were 6 amazing years of content.
And it still has a huge fandom.
It still does. And I think that's what it is. You have to get it further. You have to get it to more people, because I think a lot of these shows wouldn't have died if they had gotten a wider dispersal.
If they could have sustained themselves, if they could have gotten more than 2 million viewers per episode, they would have done it. Take a look at Arrow. Talking about Xena, it would be on CW. Today, if it was absolutely. Out there today.
No, absolutely. That is the model for that. And Arrow is a fine example of that. Arrow follows that same Xena kind of thing. We're going to do it as cheap as we can. We're going to tell great stories. And Arrow's a great show. I've watched a couple. I've been kind of getting into it. But look at Arrow and The Flash and, you know, all those shows that follow that same kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's we're going to create rich, deep characters, use our effects budget as best we can, and tell a great story.
And that was a gamble even back then, because she was the first female main character, hero character in like 20 years.
Yeah. Right. So what I brought up Arrow for a reason. Arrow and Flash are a little different than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a cornerstone television
show
for Disney. So no matter what happens with the ratings of that show,
money.
They're going to plug money into that. They're going to keep Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on. They're going to keep Agent Carter on. And by the way, I do speak with a little bit, just a tad bit of authority, because I have 2 podcasts on these shows, Starling Tribune on Arrow and Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I delve both into the DC universe and the Marvel comic book universe. But talking about the production side of Arrow, they want to get 2 million viewers a week. That's it. That's all they want, because then they're a successful show. They can pay for their actors. They can pay for their production. That's it. Sci-fi did not have that this past year at all.
No.
It was 1 at best per episode.
I think they shoot themselves in the foot, honestly, most of the time, because they have opportunity for better marketing and they don't use it.
Well, and to be perfectly candid about it, I mean, sci-fi is famous for creating, I mean, they're this fantastic sci-fi incubator, you know, sci-fi show incubator. They create these things with wonderfully talented people and crew and production and all that kind of stuff. And then they bring it out to the world and go, we're kind
of
done with that.
It's part of NBC. NBC markets the crap out of Heroes. Why couldn't they market the crap out of Defiance? Yeah. And I know both Dark Matter and Killjoys, they are Canadian produced shows. They're Canadian owned shows.
That's the difference.
They are not owned by sci-fi. So NBC doesn't have any reason to promote those shows. Defiance was a sci-fi show. And to the best of my knowledge, it's like their biggest one left, unless 12 Monkeys is a sci-fi show, which I think it is. So 12 Monkeys would be it. But Defiance was not promoted on NBC or
I
USA
tell you how
or whatever.
Sad it is with going to conventions, and this is something I'm authority on, right? It's sad when you go to the conventions and there's nothing there that that represents the actual sci-fi channel. It's all past stuff that you can find from other mixed, you know, a box full of toys of different shows. That's basically what the big conventions are. But there's no sci-fi there, and everyone loves sci-fi, but they all hate the sci-fi channel, like me. So it's pretty sad when you have a genre that is promoting all these gigantic fandoms, that you have a melting pot of these conventions where everyone goes and they all love the same thing. If they could just tap into that energy, all those fans at one place, they're going there because they love sci-fi and fantasy. And you have a network that is, or it could be, in charge of all of it, and they flounder it.
Right. They're being beat up by other people making the calculated, hard decisions in order to bring stuff forward. I think they have the creative talent. I really do. I just don't think they have the execution.
Well, they prove that they have the creative talent. I mean, these are great shows. Defiance was a great show. Right. Both Dark Matter and the other one.
Killjoys. The one you like.
Yeah, the one I like. The other one. All three of them are amazing shows. It's not that they don't have the talent. It's not that they're not creating these engaging content pieces. It's just that I think, and this is my personal opinion, all right? So stand by.
Watch out. Watch out.
I don't think TV is an accurate medium to release these things on anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think it's viable for that. No. I think it's going to wind up going more towards your Netflixes and you know, like Amazon Prime. Here's a fantastic example, right? About a year or two ago, they canceled Top Gear, right? Because Jeremy Clarkson left. There was a whole big thing and all that kind of thing. And they said, fine, you know what? Screw it. We're going to go off and do our thing, and we're going to go, and they had a whole big contract thing. BBC thought they had them with you can't be on any broadcast network, and of course they went to Amazon Prime, is who bought their show. And they're like, holy crap, we've got this built-in audience and stuff. This is, I think, a better, because there's little to no overhead with an internet release type thing. And look at The Orange Is the New Black, fantastic Netflix production. You've got Stars is now doing a lot of this stuff. You've got Orphan Black's different.
The Marvel shows, Daredevil, Jessica Jones.
Yeah, all of that stuff. It's all internet release. And I think that's where these smaller sci-fi shows can kind of incubate and grow their fan base and everything, because it's so much better.
And you don't
and
have
so
to
much
worry about numbers.
Well, you do, but it's different.
But not like the whole thing. Well, okay, well, if you don't have so many eyeballs looking at this show this week, if we don't have enough Twitters, you know, no one's going to care.
Well, the other thing is you can verifiably track not only how many, but in many cases, who is looking at this. It's not like TV where they say, Nielsen and all that kind of crap.
Yeah, it's
all outdated. Guessing, yeah. Right? This isn't guessing. This is how many people literally touched that file. And right. You can tell. I know my tail. I know, you know, what the release rate is. I know all those kind of things. And I think that's where this is heading.
They're starting to go a little bit into that with the on-demand channels.
Sure.
I think you have DirecTV. I have Time Warner Cable. And
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. They give me my broadband, so okay, I'm all right with it. But so if I want to catch up on a show, like this season, Blind Spot came on, and 3 weeks went by, and I hadn't had a chance to start watching it, or record it for that matter. So instead of having to obtain it via other means or whatever, I was able to stream it on the on-demand channel. They carry about the last 5 episodes on most series there, so that's good. But I wanted to bring up one point that you made on Top Gear. Top Gear will be a very interesting experiment, because to date, Amazon Prime does not have the same chops that Netflix does. Yahoo Video does not have the same chops that Amazon Prime does. Netflix is where it's at. So I've said this before on this podcast, that if Defiance had been marketed to Netflix versus Amazon Prime, it might have fared a lot better, because you get that tail, because everybody has Netflix. Not everybody has Amazon Prime. Not everybody has the Yahoo.
Yeah, the Top Gear Clarkson, you know, May Hammond thing, which I'm very much involved in and interested in. This is what they're going to bet on, right? Like Starz bet on Spartacus. Mm-hmm. Netflix based their new show concept on Orange is the New Black, where they're like, hey, we're producing content now. This is Amazon Prime's killer app. Yahoo did it with, what was it, Other Space, which was amazing. I don't know if you've seen that. Mm-hmm. It's got the girl from the AT&T commercials in it. Yep. who is hysterical.
She's great.
Yeah, it's an amazing show.
I might start bedazzling because of her, by the way.
Bedazzle, that's what it was.
Exactly. I mean, if you bedazzle, she turns around in her entire back of her shirts and AT&T. I love that. She's just so sweet and so cute. But Amazon Prime is looking for their quote-unquote killer app. And if they're betting on Top Gear or the Top Gear-esque show, that's going to do it, because there is no show that you can... I mean, look at the audience that they're buying. You can't buy a bigger audience than that. I mean, other than Disney buying Star Wars, this is one of the biggest in the world. I mean, it was BBC's top three. I think it was their number two show behind Doctor Who.
A world show. We're not talking about a British show. We are talking about a worldwide show.
Yeah, this is a worldwide audience show. I mean, the thing is broadcasting Qatar, for crying out loud. So there's all kinds of content that is now going to be released in a different method. I would agree with you on the Netflix thing. I'm watching iZombie right now, the first season of that, because I just missed it on the CW. I was just like, I don't have time for this. I didn't set up the DVR or whatever. The first season came out on Netflix. I'm already halfway through it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree. Defiance would have been better on if it was
Netflix
distributed through an easily consumable, widely used broadband method. Other than TV, I think television is the wrong way to do these small sci-fi shows.
As our generation ages and gets out of the key demographic, the 18 through 40, what is it, 40-something, 40 whatever demographic.
Oh, no, we're not in it anymore.
So that's the key demographic. Those people, those individuals, my son hardly ever watches anything on TV. If he does, it's to spend time with me or whoever, or maybe sports. He consumes content via Netflix and Amazon Prime.
If it ain't on there, he ain't watching it.
Right. And it's just where he's at. So I think as that generation balloons, and I think they're in the midst of the ballooning right now, you're absolutely right, Sean, that content that is developed specifically for those media, like Daredevil, like Jessica Jones, like Orange is the New Black, I think is going to be the way of the future, because there's right now, for the next 5-10 years at least, there's an amazing opportunity there for advertisers for setting the tone on how you monetize that and whatever. But I don't know where that leaves sci-fi. I don't know where that really leaves sci-fi shows. Because as much as I want to tout...
I can say where it leaves them.
As much as I want to tout the success of Daredevil, it's not a sci-fi show. It's a comic book show. It's a comic book show set in an existing American city. It's not the big budget, big special effects thing like you see on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's just not. So.
Well, I can tell you, as much as unhappy I am sometimes with the Sci-Fi Channel, other than the channel itself, I got to give credit to Kevin Murphy, because he brought this whole other world to life. I got totally engrossed in. I loved it. I love every minute. It was basically an immigration story. Every character in this show was wonderful. Even Pottinger. Even Poopinger. He had his moments.
Yeah, this was the most BSG type of show that I think I've seen in a long time. And I think had this show come along 5 to 10 years ago, I think it would have been much, much more popular. I think the internet distribution method kind of killed the audience for something that might have been a lot greater. I think it came on after its time. And a lot of shows like that are going to suffer in exactly the same way.
Well, and just like Stargate. And Stargate Atlantis, you didn't have just one main character. You had an ensemble. So you had like 7 people within Defiance. I mean, you had big name hitters like Tony Curran and Jamie Murray, Julie Benz. And then you have newcomers like, I mean, not completely new, but I had never seen Grant Bowler before or Stephanie Leonidas.
Well, here's the thing.
Leonidas.
To wrap up for me, I am very thankful for Defiance because it got It took Jamie Murray getting naked in a hot tub to get my wife to podcast with me. So
who knew that's all you needed?
I personally thank Jamie Murray for getting my wife to podcast, because that's really what it did. It was Jamie Murray's boobs. Jamie.
Now Shannon's got her own gaming computer. She's got her own gaming microphone. She's got her own podcasting microphone.
This is
now
what I would like to think. And I said this before. 2014 was the pinnacle year for me. It was a great year because even though I had Twitter long before you did, I never got on it. I never played with it, right? So I've been on Twitter. 2014, I found my clan. I found my friends. I found a game that I'd never even tried before.
For the record, I told you all what happened when I was doing it. I'm like, you should do a show. She was like, I'm not doing that.
And it took a long time for me playing the game before I can actually play it where I wouldn't, you know, make myself nauseous with my eyes. But all the stuff I gained by watching Defiance, by being a part of a fandom, which is a big thing on Twitter, which is where I spend most of my day at. So that is what I'm thankful for the characters that he created, for the show that I love, for the fans and the friends that I've made through Defiance. This is what I've gained. So even though they've canceled the show, and even though I'm really kind of still ticked off at sci-fi, we never could say that we didn't see it coming. Yeah. We always talked about how, okay, well, you know, sci-fi is pretty predictable. You know, you're not going to hardly get it past the third season. And if you got a third season, if you've got a fourth season, weren't going to get past four.
Yeah, nobody gets past four seasons.
Right. I've always said, okay, if we get a fourth one, which I didn't think we were, we wouldn't get anything past that. So we would have only been doing one more season of this anyways.
Yeah.
So we all knew it was coming because it's sci-fi. So
sort of like the Matrix, everyone falls the first time. It doesn't mean anything.
So I'm thankful for what we got when we got it.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. We knew the show had a date on it. We knew the expiration date was coming. It was and props to SP, who finally was the one who badgered my wife enough to do
this
show.
I just asked, and then a couple hours later, yeah, I'm game. Let's do it. I'm like, holy crap. Okay,
I've been asking, and look, this is significant. I've been asking her to do a show for years, since like 2007, 2008, and he asked one time. One time
yes,
he asked
but
you.
Look who was in the show. I didn't do it for him. I did it for Jamie.
Jamie's boobs. Totally did it for me. I'm just going to complete that until I die.
You can tell yourself that all you want, guys. It was not for you.
I'm totally going to claim this because this is just how it is.
It's what
I
got to
talk about Jamie.
All right. Well, Shannon, thank you very much for agreeing to do this. I think it has been a fun couple of years, and we'll see what we have in the future. Before we wrap up completely, there's a couple of voicemails. Do you guys want to listen to
them? Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. First one's from Ryan.
Greetings, Voices of Defiance, some of my fellow White Sack Angels. Ryan E. here. You may know me as TechGeekRE on Twitter, or Rizik Elso in the Defiance game. Okay, where to start? Very sad day for all of us fans yesterday. I'm still in shock a little, but I guess it was kind of expected in some ways just because of the way it ended the season 3. But I'm sure every one of us will really miss our favorite show. And as for me, and probably a lot of us, it's pervaded life in a big way ever since it started airing over 3 years ago. Through this show, I've met a lot of new friends and fellow geeks, all of which share a common passion. In many cases, a lot of other passions as well. We just found each other through this one. I personally started going to conventions recently, in Nolan cosplay, of course, to meet other fans and the cast, and have photo ops and all that fun stuff, all of which was a blast. Hopefully we'll still be seeing them out and about as they take on other projects for us to fanboy and fangirl over. One of the best things I found through this show and world was this podcast. I came late to the Voices of Defiance party, not having heard about it until after season 2, when I met Shannon in-game. But ever since, it's been a favorite of mine. Thank you for putting this on, being awesome, and having such a fun show to listen to. Oh, and thanks for bringing us Defiance Monopoly. I have that saved to print out, but haven't gotten around to actually printing it yet, as I've not had anyone to play it with. Maybe someday we can schedule a con attendee gathering, where we all go to a con, meet people, and all play together at some point in time. That would be a whole lot of fun. Well, that's pretty much all from me. Thanks again for all of your time and effort in putting on such a great show. We'll definitely miss Voices of Defiance. Oh, and one more thing. Inixa, Jerustaloje. Hashtag bring back Defiance.
Oh, that's so nice. And this is what shows do, by the way. I've had a couple shows that have ended, and I've got a couple shows that are still going on. And One of the things that's always amazing to me is, and I think, and I've said this before, Kevin Smith says this in the best way possible. Podcasting changes your life in weird little ways. Both doing a podcast and listening to one, it is access and creation of a community of people that change. I mean, you can't help but be changed by the people you meet in life, right? And podcasting helps you touch more people. And it's a funny thing that happens, right? Because some of those people just stay with you. And some of those conversations and all that kind of stuff, all that stuff you keep with you for the rest of your days. And it doesn't matter what you do. I've got a tattoo on my right shoulder. It's GWC. It's a podcast. I haven't been around for a while. But I still talk to, in fact, we've got one of those on the cast right now.
I saw when you said the con.
Yeah. SP is an original GWCer. He's been with us for a long time. He started his own shows because he said, I could do that. Everybody's like that. Everybody has that kind of thing. I mean, you get a part and grow into these communities and they mean something. So it's kind of cool. Shannon and I, as soon as Defiance started, or we got the news, we started talking yesterday and this morning about the next cast we're going to do. We got a bunch of ideas, and this isn't the last one we're going to do together. We're going to be on other ones and it'll be fine. We don't know what that's going to be yet, but we got other ones. They're coming. And it's an important type of thing for people to have a part of that community. So it's really cool. Thank you.
Did you hear what he did there at the end? He was speaking cast then.
I know. It was cool.
It was awesome.
That was awesome.
Thank you, Ryan.
Bring back Defiance. We didn't talk about it. We talked about it in terms of Continuum earlier before Sean joined us. Continuum does have a chance at getting that Netflix series or movie or whatever. I think it's over with for Defiance. That's just my personal opinion. I just don't see it coming back. Just setting expectations for everybody.
Yeah, it ain't coming back, man. Look at what they did.
I think it's over. It was a great 3 seasons. I'll have my final say in a second, but we do have one more voicemail. I think it was a drunk caller, but I don't know.
Sweet.
Here we go.
Hey, guys. I'm really sad. And one of the things I'm saddest about is no more Voices of Defiance. I'm really gonna miss you three talking Defiance. It sounds dramatic, but Defiance changed my life. So even though I have to say goodbye to Little Wolf and all the other characters I've come to love, I'm grateful. Thank you, Defiance, for teaching me things, making me laugh, making me cry, and making me wonder. Thank you for introducing me to other awesome shows and incredibly talented people both behind the scenes and in front of the camera. I'll follow them to their next project and watch because of the impact they and Defiance made on me. Defiance made me a gamer, something that I never saw coming. White Sack Angels will live on. Mostly though, thanks Defiance for the fandom. I'm now lucky enough to call many of them my friends. It's an international show with international talent and international fans. I may never be in the same room as some of my favorite people in the world, but it doesn't matter. Because Defiance's legacy is in its fans. Sci-fi can suck it. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Cookie.
Sci-fi can suck it.
I debated leaving that out, but I'm like, no, that's going in there.
That's the best part of the whole call. Well done, Cookie. That's exactly my sentiment.
Holy Hirsch, you brought tears to my eyes and made me laugh at the same time.
Sci-fi can suck it.
That's right.
Damn right they can. And
Di-fi.
Exactly.
They can flush it too.
But our sentiments exactly. And again, this isn't the last show you're ever going to hear us on. So.
I didn't think I'd be a gamer either.
I did not call that.
Yeah.
Not only am I a gamer, not only am I a part of a clan with international friends, and none of us are in the same state. But it's White Sack Angels.
Sackers.
And it's named from a character from Defiance from this podcast.
Yeah.
So, Sackers. Those are my Sackers.
I want to say a special thank you to all the listeners. I want to say thank you to Ryan and Cookie for giving us a voice. It was a very short turnaround. We found out on Friday afternoon. We knew we were going to do this podcast on Continuum, and we just called it. It's going to be our last podcast. So thank you guys very much. I will keep the voicemail line open. Not that I can close it anyway, but I will keep it open. So if you have something more to say, go ahead, and I will add it on to the end of this episode after I publish it. So your voice definitely will be heard. Don't think that you missed an opportunity to contribute. Go ahead and get that in. But thank you very much to all the listeners. You guys are what made us do this podcast, really, because Sean and I are, We're like, if this is not doing anything, let's just shut it down. But we also agreed that after the show was over, that would be it. We would not continue this. This would not become an entity onto its own. And that opens us up to additional creative opportunities that we're not just bogged down doing the same thing over and over again. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. We live or die as per the content that we cover, in this case, TV shows. Once the TV show is over, there's not really a reason to be around. The feed, however, I will say, will continue. I'm not going to drop it. So if you ever want to go back and listen to some of our past episodes, if you want to listen to some of the interviews, if you want to listen to Sean actually naming Clarence for the first time, go ahead. They will be there for you, and the contact...
Log!
The contact information will remain there for now. I might transfer the flag over to the main GunnaGeek.com website versus the VoicesDefiance.com website. So stay tuned for that. If you type in Voices of Defiance one day and you happen to be redirected to GunnaGeek, that is a good thing. Trust me, good thing.
He's going to plant the flag in the anus of Geek.
Just think of all the...
Where do you get this stuff? I mean, I got to keep up.
Top of his head. Just think of all the people we had interviews with this year. It was awesome.
Are you huffing oxygen?
I have. I got to keep up, man.
I left him breathless after the anal.
After the butt plugs.
The butt plugs from space. Yeah, and that's the last thing I wanted to leave with. Thank you very much to the entire cast and crew of Defiance. You guys were awesome. Thank you for interacting with the entire fandom. Thank you for interacting with us. All the interviews that we did, fantastic. Five Trenna, tweets. You own a special place in my heart for being our first interview. Thank you very much, man. Oh, my gosh.
What a wonderful lady.
Yeah, and I hope you...
And one of the last.
And I hope you catch on somewhere, because you so deserve it. And feel free to call us up at any given time. We'll put you on the horn on one of the other many podcasts that we're involved in. I do want to say special, special thanks to Kevin Murphy. You brought this show into the universe. You made it go. You gave us three great seasons. We might have not have always seen eye to eye, but that's the great thing about creative content, is that you give us something that we look forward to watching, whether we whether it's what we want or not. It's what makes it a little exciting. We don't know what's coming. And thank you very much for coming on this podcast and sharing with us how you envisioned the future. It made it a little easier to stomach the cancellation, knowing that Nolan and Doc Yule would indeed be coming back, that they weren't lost out in space that entire time. So thank you very much, sir. And thank you very much to my two co-hosts, Shannon and Sean. Without it, you would be listening to me. And let's face it, nobody wants to do that. So thank you guys very much for making this a successful 3 years.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's been something I didn't expect. I've been trying to cast with Shannon for a long time because I thought it'd be fun, and she has all kinds of geeky things to say, and I've always said that, and she finally got on board with the show. So I'm not sure what lined it up other than Jamie Murray, but I'm glad.
Here's the show. I mean,
I'm glad it happened.
I've always said I like Jamie, obviously, but I had other favorite characters.
You did, and it was cool, and you got to experience what a show's like, and she's, like I said, we're not done. We've got other shows. There's other shows on all kinds of stuff, and there's going to be another show that we're going to be doing. So we're not sure what that is yet, but it'll be going. So it's always one of those things. Everybody, podcasters, if for those of you who don't know, it's an addiction. And once you do one, yeah, exactly. SB's tapping his arm like a heroin addict. You know, like, I need a vein. That's kind of how it is. You're just like, no, we're done with that one. Let's do another one. So you're always looking for that. And all I can tell you is fans of Shannon, who is mostly who watches the show or listens to the show, watch her Twitter feed. I'm sure you'll hear about it as soon as she's got one that she's going to be on, whether it's guesting or, you know, a show that we come up with. But thank you. Thank you for listening. It's not it's it's always amazing to me, from the very first show I was ever on, when I saw numbers that were more than like me and my mom and, you know, our friends and
more than just us
holy
listening.
Crap, somebody's listening to this shit. It's like that. You're like, who the hell could be interested in what we're saying?
There's more than three of us here.
I have no idea who this could be. You know, thank you. It amazes me every time. It doesn't matter. I don't care if it's 10 or 10,000. It's just, I don't know. It's very cool. And it's something that I've always appreciated and been very humble about. So thank you.
You know, even though Doc and Nolan were left in space, I'm always going to think of Defiance's ending with Arissa and Nolan listening to Jackson.
I don't know, man. I love the fact that basically this show is the only place where you know what actually happens to Yule and Nolan. How many other places has he released that he wanted to do the time travel?
None other. So
no other. So only you know what actually happens.
That's true. If you go on the Renew Defiance or Cancel Defiance blogs out there, nobody knew. I kept on trying to say, listen to our podcast and you can get in there.
We knew because Kevin told us.
Because Kevin told us. So you know something that the general public doesn't know, generally speaking, because the general public doesn't listen to the show.
Well, you'd be surprised. The numbers for that podcast were astronomical, but yeah.
They were. 12 of them who listened.
It's a little bit more than that. People.
So yeah, we know what was going to happen because Kevin told us that there was going to be time travel with Doc and Nolan.
Yeah.
And that Doc was coming back without her skin.
Yeah, she's going to be without her skin, muscles only. Skeletal frame wrapped in gelatinous mass.
Without the golf ball. Mama's coming back.
Yeah, so it was seriously cool. But you guys got that, and it's part of being a show. It's part of this, and it was incredibly gracious, and everybody's been very gracious with their time who connected with the show, who hung out with us, so, yeah.
And I got a great shirt from Daz.
Did you tell them about your badge?
Oh, yeah, they know about the badge. Okay. You know, I'm happy because when I go to conventions, even now, I still look for things from the shows that I still like. I want to find things from Warehouse 13 or Defiance, right? It's hard to find anything for Defiance.
Yeah, and she found an actual Lawkeeper's badge.
Last week, last Saturday, when I was at the New York Comic Con with Arissa Wi-Fi, we're at this booth, and I'm like looking at sewn-on patches and stuff, and I'm looking at little stickers and stuff of Defiance, and she's like, hey, did you see that? I'm like, I completely missed it. She goes, oh my God, I thought you didn't want it. I'm like, what? Show me. And it was the actual metal badge. I'm like, I've got to have that, whatever, you know.
Yeah. And the rule is at a con, if you see it and it's a show that isn't like Star Wars, Star Trek, or something like, yeah, buy it because you're never going to see it. You may think you're going to see it. You're never going to see it again.
I told the guy, I said, if you had more, I'd buy them all. You'd be making some money off me today because I'd have all of them.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I found them off of eBay, though. So anyone out there who wants a badge like I have, I found them off of eBay, the metal badge.
Yeah, it's a Lawkeeper. But it's going to get increasingly rare because, again, the show is just... It is no more.
And you know what else this means? That my back window is now completely full of dead TV shows.
For now.
You are kind of the necro show queen, you know?
Until you get the next one.
Yeah, exactly. She'll kill that one too.
Shannon, the show killer.
Yeah. Shannon can kill any show.
I was just trying to do my part in promoting. I can't help it if I can suck it, right?
Well put, Cookie.
So as far as the next show, talking about the next show, listen, if you guys are interested in some sort of content out there that isn't currently being covered on the Gonna Geek Network, hit me up, hit Steven up, hit Sean up, and we will help you get a podcast rolling, and you can submit it to the Gonna Geek Network. There is a committee that votes on it. Go ahead and hit us up, and we will help you get your fandom, get in touch with your fandom, really, because that's what this was all about. I like Defiance. Not that many people around me like Defiance. So I'm like, I'm going to start a show on Defiance. And I got the fandom and I got to interact with great people that like the show. So that's all cool. And that could be you too. And if you need help starting a podcast, also stay tuned to betterpodcasting.com. Steven, the network owner, we're going to geek and myself has started a show and we will be talking about hobby podcasting, which is basically what we're doing here. We're not talking about making money. We're talking about connecting with fandom. So stay tuned for that. And also, one last thing that I had. Did you guys catch the movie The Martian lately?
No.
Oh, Sean, first of all, this afternoon, go see The Martian. Second of all, The Martian is my second favorite movie of 2015. My first favorite movie is Star Wars. Yes, Star Wars is coming in December. It's going to be great. Sean and I, and probably Shannon, are going to be seeing it multiple times. There you go.
And, that was coming.
Yeah, I did. And if you want to hit us up talking about that, that'd be great too, because we are all Star Wars fans. So Shannon, I will leave the floor to you to say your final goodbyes.
You should have made me a partner. Don't rush me. We all go boom. I'm out.
All right. Thank you, guys. We really appreciate everything, and we'll be seeing you around the interfere. Internets.
Crom best boobs.
You're an idiot.
That's a good man.
Boobs are important.
You're an idiot.
Thanks for listening to Voices of Defiance. If you want to get in touch with us, you can catch us on Twitter at VoicesOdefiance. Email us at feedback@voicesofdefiance.com. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/voicesofdefiance. Swing by our website, www.voicesofdefiance.com, or send us a voicemail at area code 612-888-ARC-1. That's 612-888-2751. This podcast is not affiliated with Sci-Fi, the television show Defiance, or the Trion video game Defiance.
Because it's dead.
Music titled after the apocalypse by Schnee Schnook and Rocket Easy by Sound Rogue can be found on pond5.com. Catch you next time, and watch out for those hellbugs.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
They're all dead. The show's dead, Jim. They're all dead.
Log.
Log.
Did Sean get a chance to watch the Continuum finale?
He did. He watched it with me last night.
Good. So he saw the power suit finally.
Yeah. He's like, so you saw the power suit finally. Yeah, the whole Halo thing. He's like, when did they get that?
Yeah. Keep up with the times, buddy.
All right. So I said, we're live for the final time on Voice of Defiance. Find us on gunnageek.com/live. It's out. I'm ready.
Pushing the big green button and the blue. Say that, the blue
every time
one.
We say that, I think of the Matrix, the pills.
That would be blue and red, but yeah. And yeah, the blue same. Button.
It's the same.
We are temporarily paused as we get set for our next segment.
Da, da, da. Okay.
And joining us today is a very special guest that I would have preferred to have done without, actually. But my hand was forced.
Shannon, what are you doing? Yes, you did.
Maybe I'd agree with you at the moment.
You agree with him about what?
Fucking him. Come on.
Saddle up, buddy.
You know, I can go.
He told you to saddle up. I'm getting the evil eye.
Joining us for one last time is the one, the only, the man who draws pretty pictures and tells stupid stories. The one who started it all back in 2006. The Parsec Award winning Sean O'Hara.
Hello! And Shannon is about to go lay down the law now. We have a little girl knocking at the door constantly, and she's about to lay down the law. But Xena was a fantastic way, and that was...
I would like to thank everybody that brought Defiance to the network and how hard it is to do anything original nowadays when it just seems like everything is just basically rebooted. And I would really appreciate it if you bring it back. Really, I have a lot of unanswered questions that I need to deal with, and it would really help if you did. But thank you for everything. Goodbye.
Hey guys, it's Sophie and Rissa Wi-Fi. I want to say I'm really, really sad that Defiance was canceled, and that means I'll never get to hear Voices of Defiance again. I don't know which news is worse, honestly, but I just wanted to thank you guys for just an amazing podcast, and I'm glad that we can always go back to the archives and check them out again and relive all those funny moments. So thank you guys for all your hard work. And we'll see you soon. Bye.
Hey guys, it's Carolyn, Ocean363. I talk to Shannon a lot. I just thought I would call in and say thank you guys for such a wonderful podcast. You guys crack me up every time I listen to you. I couldn't laugh harder every time I listened. So thank you guys for creating such an awesome podcast. I have gotten so many cool friends from the Defiance family. It's such a great fandom to be a part of. I know we got a good-ish ending. It was kind of irritating to have to be waiting for that long to know that they were going to cut the story, but at least we got a good ending, and I wanted to say I loved the interaction that everyone had, including the cast and the crew. They just were so interactive with us. I think made it a lot more treasurable kind of interaction. And I just wanted to say thanks to all of those cast and crew members who always took the time to either reply to our tweets or talk to us. And it was a great 3 seasons. So thank you guys a lot. I love your guys' podcast, and I can't wait to hear what you guys do next. Please get another podcast because you guys crack me up. And thanks. Okay, bye.
Hey, my name's Barbara, and I'm a devoted fan of Defiance, and I think it's a damn shame that they had to cancel it. True, they packed a whole lot in 3 seasons, but I think they can pack a whole lot more into a few more seasons on that show. Oh, it just bothers me that I'm not going to get to see it again. Thanks for listening to me. Bye.
So we're out on YouTube. We're out on Spreaker. We're still on Mixlr. I don't even know if anybody's listening to us on Mixlr.
Hell no.
Three people are. So the 3 people that are left, thank you for listening. We're going to shut down now.
Out. You're an idiot. I should have said that.
We are now off the air.
Word.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.